amazing love. Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
Angels, do you believe in angels? Do you believe in the unseen? Well, we don't see air, but we know air is there. We do not see wind until it hits trees or we see something move, but wind is there. There are so many things that we do not see in the natural, but because we know they're there, because of knowledge, we believe they're there, they're there. Faith is believing in that which is not seen. And there's a lot in the Word. There's a lot of information about angels. And we read that angels are warriors. Not warriors, they're warriors. We read that angels are protectors and angels are messengers. Angels are sent as a result of prayer. The Word tells us not to worship angels. And there's counterfeit angels. We need the discernment of God to know what is of Him and what is not of Him. Do we know Him? First of all, to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's so much today about angels. There's all kinds of little nicky-nackies. There's angels on writing paper. Angels, ceramic angels, flying angels, posters of angels, pictures of angels. Well, we know in the end time there's going to be a lot of activity in the angelic realm. Have you ever heard an angel? Well, I've heard the angelic choir. Sounds very strange, but I know it was supernatural. So many times our lives are busy during the day, and for the Lord to talk to us, He has to wait till the middle of the night to speak to us. And at different times, I've been awakened, and I heard this beautiful choir. It didn't go on and on, maybe for a minute, minute and a half. And I heard the angels praising the King. And that's what they do all the time. Praise and worship going up before the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. 24 hours a day, they're worshiping Him. And yet the Word tells us that angels are sent to the heirs of righteousness. And if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, will you have an angel? Yes, you do. Never seen Him, never heard Him, never talked to Him, but He's there. The Word admonishes us not to worship angels. They're created beings, created by God the Father. They're going to live forever. And they have free will. Yes, they can make decisions. They can decide to be good or decide to be evil. As we have that decision, we can follow the light or follow darkness. We can follow Jesus or make some really bad decisions in our life. We know the Word tells us that angels are neither male nor female. So many times we see them as female or as babies. And yet something inside of me, I believe that the warrior angels would be very powerful looking. Very powerful. Not effeminate looking. But that's my own natural projection. Being in heaven, there is neither male nor female. We know that in Daniel, the 10th chapter, verses 12 and 14, it describes a conflict between Michael, the archangel, and the prince of Persia. And Daniel had been fasting before God for 3 weeks, seeking understanding about the future and waiting on God, but it took a battle between Gabriel and the prince of Persia. He had to fight him. And he had to wait till Michael came, the warring angel, to relieve him that he was able to get through. Are you believing God for an answer to prayer? The war is fought in the heavenlies. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Sometimes we don't like to think about these things. We don't like to think about negative forces. But not facing the reality of negative forces and what the Word of God says only leads me on a blind path. We don't see bacteria. We don't see viruses. But they attack people. And that's true in the realm of the spirit. And the Word says, my people suffer for lack of knowledge. And we can say, well, I didn't know that. Or I don't want to know that. And yet the Lord, through His Word and by His Spirit, wants to open up the eyes of our understanding, because in the future we have been called to judge angels, to be seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father, to rule and reign with Him. And He's called us to be priests, and He's called us to be kings. Not ignorant, but filled with the wisdom that can only come from the throne of God. So we must seek God. We must seek the Spirit of the Lord. We must seek His face, that we might have the wisdom, that we might have the discernment to walk and be the priests and kings that God has called us to, that we might take the authority that He's given to us. Adam and Eve were given that authority but lost it because of sin. And we know in the garden they were deceived. And the curse that came upon Lucifer, the star of the morning, and he became a serpent that crawled in the dust of the ground because of deceiving Adam, deceiving Eve. And death came into the world. And so the deceiver is still out there trying to twist truth, twist reality. The Word tells us that He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and give us life abundantly. So in our daily lives, we can choose life, we can choose death. In our conversation, we can choose life, we can choose death. We can choose holiness, or we can choose sin. And the wages of sin are death. But truth brings us to life. And Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. And that's the way I want to go. We know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And I'm sure the angels were up there looking. And I wonder if they were, if they really knew what was going on. Because we know that the night before He died, when He was in Gethsemane, one of His apostles drew his sword and cut the ear of the high priest off. And Jesus admonished him, saying that he could pray to God to send 12 legions of angels to rescue him if he wanted to. That's 72,000 angels. But he had prayed to Father God, and he said, not my will, but thy will be done. But if possible, take this cup from me. And he beseeched three times. But Jesus, his heart was to do the will of the Father. And he had all that power available to him. He could have called 72,000 angels. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 47 to 54, but doing so would prevent the scriptures from being fulfilled. His destiny was to be the sacrificial lamb for our sins, and it was therefore necessary for Jesus to die on the cross for our soul's salvation, redemption from the curse of sin. Redemption from sin is possible solely through the shedding of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. He paid a debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. We needed someone to take our sin away. And now we can sing Amazing Grace. God's grace, His unmerited favor, that He died on that cross for you and for me. And Father's face, the Father who loved Him and turned His face from Him, what pain that had to be. He was a man of sorrows, but because of His great love for you, for me, and the Word tells us because God so loved the world, He so loved the blue planet, that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you and for me, that we might have eternal life, live forever with Him. Jesus was the first of many brothers, and He paved the way that we might be adopted into the family of God.
Stillness filled the heavens on crucifixion day. Some say it rained, I don't know if it's true. But I can just imagine 10,000 angels cry. That would seem like rain to me and you. The angels all stood ready to take Him from the tree. They waited for the word from His voice. And when He asked the Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? They watched the Savior die of His own choice. I've never seen 10,000 angels cry, but I'm sure they did as they stood by and watched the Savior die. God turned His head away, He couldn't bear the sight. It must have looked like rain when 10,000 angels cried. As the sun slipped away, the skies turned gray, and when Jesus gave His all, that's when their tears began to fall. I've never seen 10,000 angels cry, but I'm sure they did as they stood by, watched the Savior die. God turned His head away, He couldn't bear the sight. It must have looked like rain when 10,000 angels cried. It must have looked like rain when 10,000 angels cry.
A quick According to the Gospel of John, 20th chapter, we know that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb looking for Jesus, and she found two angels, and they asked her why she was weeping. Strange question. They knew he was alive. That God is alive. He's the God of the now. And the word tells us if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. The word also tells us to be dead in the body is present with God. There is no fear in death for those that believe. We are going to live in eternity someplace. To live in the presence, to live in his presence, to see those angels. We know that angels are messengers. Mary, Jesus' mother, we know that she spoke to an angel. And reading from Luke, first chapter, "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. Very soon you will become pregnant and have a baby boy, and you will name him Jesus. He shall be very great and shall be called Son of God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he shall reign over Israel forever. His kingdom shall never end. Therefore the child will be called Holy, the Son of God." An announcement to Mary, and her reply was one of obedience. "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true." And the angel disappeared. The Lord many times sends his angels to warn his people, to guide his people. We see in Acts 8:26-29, where Philip, an angel spoke to the disciple Philip and told him to go to the desert south of Jerusalem, to Gaza. And Philip obeyed and met the Ethiopian eunuch who was struggling with a passage from Scripture. Philip explained the Scripture, which was a prophecy about Jesus and his sacrifice for our sins. And the Ethiopian believed and was baptized in Jesus' name. Angelic intervention. Many times God will send a man to a far place for one person. It might come as a leading of the Holy Spirit. It might come through an angelic messenger. But he loves his people so much that he would send us on a far journey for one person. And many times we're so crowd-oriented or thinking about expense, time involved. But the Lord moved Philip to speak to one man because God does not think the way we think. Isn't that wonderful? But oh, that we would think the way he thinks, that our mind might be the mind of Christ. And the word tells us to put on the mind of Christ, to humble ourselves, to give ourselves completely to him, that we might be led by the Holy Spirit. And I believe then we're going to see more miracles in our life. We know that in Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, God declares his protection over us. We know that in Hebrews 1st chapter 14th verse, angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who inherit salvation. Those who will inherit salvation are the blood-bought, redeemed children of God who rest their faith in Jesus Christ. The redeemed community, the redeemed family, bought by the blood of the Lamb. What an honor, what a privilege to be called his child. We know too that angels are sent as the result of prayer, that God will send an angel if he has to. In an intense situation, and many times during First World War, Second World War, even in our own revolution, we hear stories of angelic intervention. the power of prayer to move the hand of God. Angels are servants of the Most High. Reading from Acts 12th chapter, starting with verse 5. But earnest prayer was going up to God from the church for his safety all the time he was in prison. Speaking of Paul, the night before he was to be executed, he was asleep, double chained between two soldiers with others standing guard before the prison gate, when suddenly there was a light in the cell and an angel of the Lord stood beside Peter. The angel slapped him on the side to waken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed, put on your shoes." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. Moved by prayer. The power of prayer. Somebody's praying.
Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me. Angels are watching, I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. 'Cause Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe your angels are watching over me. Well, I've walked the barren wilderness where my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest caverns where no light had ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. And Lord, I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me.
someone is praying for me. Jesus. The Word tells us that Jesus lives to do intercession for you and for me. Reading from 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, starting with verse 10. The day of the Lord is surely coming as unexpectedly as a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the heavenly bodies will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be burned up. And so, since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy, godly lives we should be living. You should look forward to that day and hurry it along, the day when God will set the heavens on fire, and the heavenly bodies will melt and disappear in flames. But we are looking forward to God's promise of a new heavens and a new earth afterwards, where there will be only goodness. Dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen and for Him to come, try hard to live without sinning and be at peace with everyone, so that He will be pleased with you when He returns. Revelation 3rd chapter, verse 5. Everyone who conquers will be clothed in white, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will announce before my Father and his angels that he is mine. Let all who can hear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To see the angels, to see the new Jerusalem, to see all the saints of old, to see the thrones, to see the gates of the city, the 12 gates, 12 pearls. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, what God has for those who love Him. Oh, that we might please Him right now, that we might do the will of the Father. Mary Winchell here. God loves you with an amazing love. And oh, quicken our spirits, oh God, that we might be more aware of your ministering spirits that you have sent to the heirs of righteousness.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazinglovministries.org.